This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
My name is Staff Sergeant Jason Kopp.
I'm Corporal Terry Narcisse.
I'm Captain Michael Curry.
PFC McKittrick.
Staff Sergeant Jeff Barlow.
And these are the voices from the 182nd Infantry Regiment of the Army National Guard. It's a unit we're following all year as part of our ongoing series, Homefront. When we last saw the 182nd, back in March, they had just landed in the U.S. after a year-long deployment to Afghanistan. The unit returned home to Massachusetts and Rhode Island. But after 2 months of leave, their official transition time is over. The deployment checks have stopped, and it's time to get back to regular life. For the Massachusetts members, that means a mandatory check-in with the unit's leadership.
Where's Hammer Company today?
That's Lieutenant Colonel Tom Stewart. He's the commander of the 182nd.
Caledon Company? Dog? Excellent. You're all here.
The hotel ballroom just outside Boston is filled with Stewart soldiers. For most of them, it's the first time they've put on a uniform in months. Some are sitting with families, wives, children, and a few parents. Others have cornered themselves off with their old squads. Units in the Army National Guard generally meet 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year for training. But this weekend is different.
Today I want to welcome you all to the post-deployment. We're finally using the word post-deployment. Yellow Ribbon Weekend.
The military created the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program in 2008 as a way to help Guard and Reserve members make the transition from soldier to civilian. Major Michael Green coordinates the Yellow Ribbon events for Massachusetts.
You've had some time off, you know, spent time with your family. Now you're ready to get back to the business of getting your life back in order and moving on post-deployment.
There are two big concerns facing returning guardsmen. First, financial stability. The Guard is a part-time job, so these soldiers need other work to support themselves and their families. And the second issue is psychological. After leaving home for a war zone, these soldiers have to learn how to relate to their families and to live as civilians again. And Guard officials say now that these troops have been home for a while and have had a chance to decompress, this is actually when things start to get hard. The day before the Yellow Ribbon event, we checked in with one of the Guard members we had met a couple months ago when the unit first got back from Afghanistan.
Hey.
Home for Specialist Brian Canava is the small town of Shirley, Massachusetts. It's quiet, aside from the train tracks nearby. Canava started looking for a job while deployed with the 182nd in Afghanistan. Now that he's home, he's going on interviews. And when we caught up with him, he was prepping for another one.
I couldn't find my brown belt that went with my shoes, so substituting, and my neck got fatter. So these were kind of things I realized this morning.
He settled on a light brown suit, a white button-down, and a gray tie. Canava's head is completely shaved, a preemptive strike against early hair loss.
Yeah, like hide my baldingness, I guess.
Better to take control of the situation, which is what he's trying to do with his job hunt as well. Unlike a lot of his fellow soldiers, Canava has been frugal with his military pay, and he's saved up a financial cushion. So at this point, he thinks he can afford to be picky about what job he takes. A copy of his resume sits on a coffee table.
Employment history. It says U.S. Army National Guard, 1-182nd Infantry Regiment, Braintree, Mass., serving as a team member of Provincial Reconstruction Team Farah, Afghanistan.
Security. He's interviewing for a position he heard about at a veteran's job fair as a financial advisor, but he's not even sure he wants it.
I don't know why I'm going. I guess just to entertain the idea, but I guess that's why I'm not nervous.
We went along with Brian for the half-an-hour drive to the interview. Canava knows he needs a job. He's got a 9-year-old son with diabetes. There are medical bills to pay, let alone basic living expenses. But there's a sense of apathy hanging over him. It's hard to think about taking a desk job after being in a war zone.
I guess, like, coming home, like, that's also part of the reason I don't think I could do just, like, a regular job, like, financial advisor. I don't get, like, pumped up on, like, making a sale or, I don't know. No, I haven't really been pumped up since I've been home.
Next left turn.
Canava arrives at an office park right off of a highway. He's early because he's a military guy, after all.
All right.
He goes into the interview, and about 40 minutes later, he comes out, looking a little more energized.
I'm going to come back and just go through the office, see how they do stuff. see if I can get sold on working there.
In some ways, the job search has been a helpful distraction from the culture shock of coming home. Kanava is separated from his son's mom. They share custody, so he's set up an extra room. But most of the time, Kanava is alone.
The first, like, week or so, it was kind of awesome. And then, like, when you're by yourself for a longer period of time, you're actually kind of, like, miss having people around. So it's kind of lonely, I guess.
That's the other big pillar of the Yellow Ribbon program. There is the financial side, but there's also the far more personal side of making this transition, helping soldiers learn how to be back home again.
Could you please start moving into your seats so we could start the program?
The next day, Kanava and the rest of the 182nd gathered at that mandatory Yellow Ribbon event. For some soldiers, this is just about ticking a box. Others take advantage of the resources here. Free acupuncture, seminars on networking, even relationship counseling.
My name is Justin Hill. I'm a psychologist at the Boston VA in Jamaica Plain.
Dr. Hill is leading a couples therapy seminar in a small conference room at the hotel. He stands in front of about a half dozen couples.
When I give these talks, when we get to expressing your feelings, a lot of people, especially the guys, start rolling their eyes a little bit. We're not going to get too touchy-feely in here. We're going to be talking more about kind of how to talk to one another and how to identify what feelings are actually going on.
Major Matthew Porter is sitting near the front of the room. He's here with his wife Jennifer and their three-month-old daughter. Some of the problems they face are universal, like communication.
You know, her method of dealing with, you know, a fight is, we'll fight about it a little bit, and then she goes into a silent treatment. And that angers me because I want to work it out.
Some people completely shut down, or they get so upset that they can't think rationally, which is what I do. So walking away is my way of, like, coming back and being with a clearer head.
But Dr. Hill says some problems are directly linked to the deployment.
If, you know, your significant other just spilled coffee and now is running late to work and they're freaking out, you can easily step back and say, why are you freaking out over that? My life was just in danger for a year. You know, if you're comparing everything to that, that can be very invalidating to your significant other. That
person. Only a handful of couples decided to go to this seminar, so Matthew and Jennifer Porter are the exception. After the session, they say most families in the 182nd will end up grappling with their problems behind closed doors.
You know, with the regular full-time military, a lot of people live together, and you're in a community where everybody's used to everything and people can recognize these things. But when you live in communities where nobody is in the military or
like the National Guard.
Yeah, like the National Guard, or your closest person to you is 20 miles away that deployed with you, it's hard. And you don't realize that people going through the same thing. It's just, it's more private.
Right, which isn't always good, you know.
The Porters are taking steps to keep their marriage healthy, but other families didn't survive this deployment. When Sergeant Paul Cruz went overseas, he was engaged and had a young son. The stress of the separation caused constant arguments between him and his fiancée, and when he came back, the fighting didn't stop.
We just woke up one day and decided, you know, we should really, for the benefit of, you know, our son, not to, you know, fight around him and stuff like that, and it wasn't working out, so we decided to call it quits. So it's like, what do I do now?
And that's the question a lot of soldiers are asking themselves right now. They can get some guidance here at this event, but this is it. After this weekend seminar, they're kind of on their own. Major Michael Green, the coordinator of Yellow Ribbon events here, says at least the soldiers at this event are getting some help.
But where are they in 2014, 2015, 2016, when maybe we don't have a deployment? Well, there's no Yellow Ribbon program for, you know, 3 years after you deploy.
The Guard is counting on informal bonds within the unit, Army buddies staying in touch, spouses or parents checking in with each other. Problem is, these informal links are about to get even more informal. The 182nd that deployed to Afghanistan won't exist in the same way much longer. Some soldiers are leaving to join other units. They're moving out of the state or dropping out of the military entirely. As for Specialist Brian Kanava, he didn't end up taking that job he interviewed for. He's still keeping his options open. And part of him wants to renew his Army contract and just redeploy. Our story was produced by Tom Dreisbach. You can find out more on this series at npr.org or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NPR Homefront.